Welcome to the Artistic Foodies, the show that explores life through the lens of art and food. I'm Abbas Muhammad.
And I'm Irfan Raidan.
And today we're starting season three by talking to a couple of inspiring young food entrepreneurs. Not only have Niall and Punahal Chaudhary started and operated their own dessert company, Lajawab Treats, before high school, they've also published their very own cookbook. Niall has also gone on to win season 11 of Food Network's Kids Baking Championship in 2023. We feel incredibly lucky that they got to share some of their time with us today.
Season 3 of the Artistic Foodies will be an exploration of the food industry. Join us as we talk to entrepreneurs, restaurateurs, and other notable personalities within the field.
A big warm welcome to the podcast. At Artistic Foodies, we're always talking about things that are either have to do with art and media or have to do with food. And honestly, from the pictures that I've seen, it seems like you guys really bring the two together. You're very artistic when it comes to your food. So I've definitely been impressed by what I've seen, and I'm just so excited to have you guys on the podcast finally and to get to talk about some of the great stuff that you've done. So let's start off super basic. Let's talk about the history. Just tell us, what are your names? Why did you start this business, and when did you start it?
So my name's Niall Chaudhary.
And my name is Punahal Chaudhary.
And we started our business, Lajawab Treats, in February of 2021. And the reason we did was because during the pandemic with online school, we had lots of extra time because of online school. So we decided to take baking up as a hobby. And then after baking a lot, we turned it into a business eventually, and it's become what it is today.
So my follow-up question to that is, what was the process for you guys to start the business? Because, you know, it's something that's unique for young kids like yourself to start a business. So what was that process like? Did you have to do some research? Did you talk to other business owners? How did you get started in the business?
So we got started when when we were baking, we would give some of our baked goods to our neighbors. And then eventually one of our neighbors actually paid us, and then on top of that, he paid us a $5 tip, and that tip was kind of the moment where we realized that we could actually start a business from our hobby. And then we did lots of research, we tested out each and every recipe, we perfected them before we actually launched our business finally on February, on Valentine's Day of 2021.
Yeah, and we mainly used YouTube to like get the recipes, and then we would like tweak them to make them our own
and make them better.
Nice.
And so what was the process of getting the business part off the ground? I mean, I know there's so much that goes into creating a business. It's not as simple as like just you'll make stuff and people show up. So what was that? What was that process like?
Yeah. So the process was also in the beginning, we actually would just give them to some family friends would order here and there, and our prices would be pretty low because we were starting off, and we would deliver because we were a new business and we wanted to make it easier for our customers. But as the time went on, we started getting more and more orders, and it kind of became to a high demand. So then we stopped doing deliveries, which was a lot easier for us. We also took in more orders because of that, since we had more time. And so then we just scaled forward, and yeah, we just took it all on.
That's fantastic. And so what are some of the most popular items that people have gotten? What do you see flying off the shelves at Lajawab?
Yeah, so it's mainly our fusion desserts, our Pakistani and American ones, like mm-hmm. rasmalai, twist lychee cake, falooda wow. cake, and more like that.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, tell me more about falooda cake. I don't think I've heard of that one. What goes into a falooda cake?
So it's basically like cardamom cake, and then it has layers of falooda, jello, whipped cream, basil seeds, and lots of nuts And then when you cut into it, it's like a lot of filling and it tastes just like falooda. So it's really good.
Oh, wow. Falooda in a cake. For folks that love falooda and love cakes, you need to hit up Lajawab because my mind is blown. I didn't even know something like that was possible. That's really cool. And so I've seen some of your products in the Bay Area Halal Foodies group. And, you know, I've seen a lot of the traction from the very early days when you guys first started posting. I'm kind of curious, what role did that Facebook group, Bay Area Halal Foodies, play in the business and just social media in general? What has your strategy been for outreach?
So, okay. So basically in the beginning, yeah, we started posting a lot on Bay Area Halal Foodies, and that helped us a lot because we realized that most of our customers were actually people who wanted halal desserts and a lot of the South Asian community, since what makes us different from other businesses is that we use South Asian fusion flavors. So we noticed that a lot, that most of our customers were actually South Asian Muslims. And yeah, so that helped us a lot. And also Instagram, Facebook, I think Instagram was our main
marketing.
Yeah, main marketing, and it still is. So yeah, getting marketing on Instagram, we get orders through that too. So I think Instagram and Facebook groups and Facebook has been a couple of great platforms for our business to kind of market and outreach.
It's really interesting in business how marketing is changing a lot. I mean, what's next? TikTok, right? Yes.
I was going to ask, so how do you guys, between yourselves, brother and sister, how do you guys split up the work in your business? Like, does one of you focus on, obviously both are doing the baking and stuff, but for the business side, does one of you focus on Instagram, one of you focus on Facebook, or do you guys both do both?
Yeah, so we both do it all together, but for the baking part of it, mainly we split up our desserts and then we work on cakes together. And then for Instagram and Facebook, we both work on that together as well.
Yeah, so in the beginning when we started our business, we found that a lot of the time we wanted our own ideas into our desserts. So a lot of the time there would be arguments. And so we decided to split up the desserts that we make. So Bunho specializes in things like tiramisu and gulab jamun cake, and I do like rasmalai cake and creme brulee, things like that. And then if we have like a big cake order, then we work on that together to get both opinions.
Yeah.
Did you say gulab jamun cake?
Yeah.
Okay, I have to pause the questions here. Can you please tell me more about that? I need to, oh my gosh, these are revelations. What is going on? What is gulab jamun cake like?
So the cake is basically like a cardamom cake, and it's flavored like gulab jamun, but then the texture is basically gulab jamun. It's like the way it's baked, and it's in a bundt cake. So then I cut up gulab jamun, put it on top, and then I make my own syrup and then put it.
So basically it's a bundt cake, and the texture of the cake itself is very similar to gulab jamun, and then we soak it in the syrup, and then we add actual gulab jamun on top and whipped cream. So
yeah,
it's a really happy bite.
That's interesting, because traditionally gulab jamun is fried and then dunked, yeah, right? And so having a bake, I mean, actually, I don't know if I want to call that like a healthier, we're still talking about sugar syrup cake, right? That's fantastic. That sounds really delicious. My goodness, why do we do these interviews while we're fasting? Yeah,
I was just going to say that too. Yeah, this is a very bad idea. Bad idea for us. No, but that's good. So I was going to ask also, so you guys mentioned a little bit about you guys have some, a little bit of argument sometimes, you know, between brother and sister. That's normal. That's natural. So do you guys also have a little bit of friendly competition between each other? Like, see who can make the best dessert, and how does that work?
So we do that outside of orders because we don't want to like experiment with the orders. So then we do that for fun when we have like a little bit of free time, and then that actually sometimes creates new flavors and new desserts. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of how maybe a couple of our dessert flavors came about as well. And then also, I remember one time what we did was we had to frost two cakes, and we needed to do it really quick, and we wanted to be do it simultaneously so it would go two times faster. So then we had a little competition of who makes it smoother. But yeah, things like that. But we don't experiment with flavors for orders, but outside of orders, then we go all out because we want to just keep on adding new things to our menu.
Mm-hmm. And I think at this point, it's safe to say that Lajawab is not like a tiny business anymore. It's definitely gotten some recognition. And it's funny because you mentioned free time, Punal, and I'm wondering where free time comes from when you're juggling school, you've got Sunday school, you've got a full business. Like, what is your schedule like, and how do you both balance it all?
Yeah, so we do our homework first on the weekdays. And if we have extra time at night, then we bake. And then extra time, sometimes we have it on the weekends if we don't have orders. But we usually have a lot of orders on the weekends.
We get extra time, though. We have time to be normal kids as well. But, like, Bunho plays soccer. She's about to go to a practice. And then I like graphic designing. I like playing volleyball, badminton. And, we get time to do that, too. And then we try to have most of our orders on the weekends. But if we are free on a weekday and we don't have too much homework that day, then sometimes we make exceptions.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And also, I mean, just for the sake of the podcast, what are you guys' ages again?
Yeah, so I am 13.
And I'm 12.
And I'm in 8th grade.
And I'm in 6th grade.
And how old were you when you first started the business?
So I was 9.
And I was 11.
That's amazing. That's really inspiring. When I was 11 years old, I just cared about fighting with my younger brother and nothing else. So I'm really curious to know, like, how is your relationship as brother and sister? How has that evolved through working on this business together? Do you see any difference from before? You know, what's your experience been like?
Yeah, I think this actually made us a little more closer because we got to work together more and just like we got to share our ideas. And
yeah, so just like when you work next to someone for so long, then I think you establish a stronger bond that I didn't think we had like before. So I think it definitely helped with that as well.
That's really cool. That's really inspiring. Would you recommend others to start businesses with their family members?
Yeah, definitely. It's a really fun idea. Because we started really small and then just kept on growing. And yeah.
Uh-huh. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. So now, of course, like we've heard about how great the journey has been, but, you know, everyone knows that not everything is always as pretty as it seems. Not everything is easy. Not everything comes on a silver platter, especially when you're working on a business. Obstacles do come up. That's part of the journey. And so, you know, we really want to inspire our listeners, but also give them a taste of the reality of being an entrepreneur. It's not easy, right? It's not a cakewalk, if you will. It's not a rasamalai cakewalk. So, you know, I'd love to know, like, what are some struggles or roadblocks that you've experienced either together or personally throughout this journey? And how did you overcome those?
So in the beginning, I was not the best baker because I would sometimes like curdle the batter. This was before the business because we had to like perfect the recipes. But then after practice and more practice, I perfected multiple recipes, and then I got to like right now where we make like wedding cakes. And
yeah, so I remember the first wedding cake we ever made. We took the order and we were super excited about it, and it was a falooda flavored cake. Basically it was a two-tier cake, and the bride wanted like a fondant drape from the top tier to the bottom tier, looking like a dupatta. And basically that drape kind of brought the top tier a little down, and the cake started bulging a little bit, which kind of means that the filling was kind of starting the show. So what we did was we had to like smooth it out. We had to throw it in the fridge for a long time, and then we just worked on it. But that was a very stressful day. But in the end, we fixed it and it looked pretty good.
And we also learned new things in that one.
We learned really great things about just like baking.
So I know Puneel has to go pretty soon. So before you guys, before she goes, what is some of the, what is the biggest lesson that you have learned so far? And you're obviously still, you're still young, still have a long ways to go, but just give us like one big lesson that you've learned so far from this experience.
So if you like mess up, you should never give up, because you should just keep trying and trying until you like perfect it, because then that could like make your life like better as well.
Yeah. Oh, sorry about that. So for me, I would say that if you like have an idea and you want to like be creative somehow and you have an idea, just like take the first leap, because that's kind of how we started, and we didn't know where it was going to go. We thought it was just going to be like a one day thing, and then it turned out to be a really big part of our lives, and yeah, it turned out to be great in the end. So just taking that leap of faith has really helped us in the future.
Very good, very good lessons for everybody to learn. Follow up to that I really quickly, and you know, Puneel, whenever you have to go, just let us know, and then we can pause. But well, sometimes you know, you get you know, especially when you're trying, you're starting out a business, you get some feedback from people, and a lot of times, you know, I'm sure in your situation, people maybe are don't want to crush your dreams or something like that, right? But sometimes it's helpful to get honest feedback from people, right? So who are the people, you know, like are your parents? I'm assuming your parents are the ones who gave you some honest feedback, and there's other like family members or close friends. You don't have to mention their name if you don't want to, but was there some specific person or people that gave you some honest feedback on your recipes and how to improve?
Yeah, so I think
it's mainly our parents and our family friends.
Yeah, also our customers too, because in the beginning when we were starting off, our we'd ask them for feedback, but our customers didn't give us too much like feedback on improvement, because they're like, these are little kids, they just started their business. But then as we slowly progressed, then we started asking them, like begging for feedback, like we really want to improve this somehow, and then we got really good feedback. So in our house, we say that we think of feedback as like something like priceless. We would do anything. So for feedback, so we can improve our desserts. So we take it as a really positive thing. If someone's giving us feedback, they really mean that they're trying to help us improve. So for the next person, it's going to be better.
Yeah, and we still continue asking them for feedback.
Yeah, that's great. And it's so important to have that thick skin and be like, okay, like I know just because you said it could improve this way doesn't mean I'm not a good cook. So that's a great, as an entrepreneur, you definitely have to have that trait to be able to just be like, okay, you know what? This is not personal. I'm gonna just make a better product and put that out there and make the world a better place one cake at a time, right? Yeah. I'm curious to know if there's anyone out there in the food world or in the business world that you look up to as kind of like a role model, whether it's, you know, Gordon Ramsay or the Golden Balance, you know, who's someone that you guys look up to?
Okay. Yeah. I think honestly, recently, probably the Golden Balance, honestly, because I've been watching a lot of his videos, especially during Ramadan.
That's when his views go through the roof. Everyone's on their phones looking at those videos.
So I watch a lot of his videos, and also there's a new show that Gordon Ramsay launched called Next Level Chef, and there's a Muslim, I think she's Bangladeshi chef on that. Her name's Mehreen. So I look up to her as well, because she ended up winning that as well. Around the same time that I won the show. So that was a coincidence that two South Asian Muslims won two different cooking baking shows at the same time. So that was really fun. And then her videos are also really fun to watch.
Yeah, for me, it's Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah.
Really? He's quite intense.
He's nicer to kids than to adults, though.
Okay, that's good. That's a redeeming quality. That's good to know. And so where, what's next for the business? What is your next goal? And what is something that you need in order to get to the next goal? How can the community help support you?
Yeah, so in the next year or so, we want to start selling at our local farmers market, so then we can get more outreach on that. And then the year after that, we want to sell our cake jars, so our fusion cake jars, in retail stores like Safeway, Whole Foods, things like that. And then hopefully after I'm done with high school, then we're thinking about maybe having an actual in-person storefront that we could keep, and yeah, we're still thinking about that. Yeah. But that would be the ideal end outcome.
Right, that's more of like a long-term strategy.
Yeah,
right on. I mean, even having stuff in retail, that sounds like an incredible endeavor. I mean, you're gonna be in meetings with the CEOs of Whole Foods and Trader Joe's. You know, that, you know, we wish you the best of luck on that. And is there anything that you need from us, from the community? There's a lot of people out here that really want to support you in everything that you're doing, because I think you really represent the goodness of what's possible, and it's really inspiring. So how can we support you in your business?
Honestly, anything that anyone does for our business is supporting us. So our customers ordering with us, supporting us, people who are following us are supporting us, watching our videos supporting us, anyone who's like looking at our page, this all support, and we're really grateful to have that. So yeah, thank you guys.
And now a word from our sponsor. Established in 1999, Tayyibat Meat and Grill in Milpitas, California is a pioneer in the Bay Area halal meat industry. Tayyibat started selling fresh, hand-slaughtered halal chicken to local halal restaurants, and then expanded to serve these same high-quality halal meats to the general public as well. With the addition of a bistro kitchen, which now serves rotisserie chicken slow-cooked on a spit, along with restaurant-style red meat cuts, including Wagyu steaks, burgers, and kebabs, oof, you cannot find this unique flavor anywhere else. Join Tayyibat for the weekly full-service four-course meals on steak nights every Sunday. Reservations are required. And you can get more info on Tayyibat's butchery as well as ordering from their menu on their website. www.tayyibat.com. And now, back to the show. So let's segue into the show, the Food Network show. So you mentioned this a couple of times, that you were on the Food Network show and you had won it. So for folks that may not know, just give us a quick like context and history. What is the show? How did you get involved? What was the process? Did they reach out to you? Did you apply?
Yeah, so the show that I ultimately won is called Kids Baking Championship, Season 11, and it is on Food Network. And it was a really long process, actually. So basically, we got contacted by a Food Network casting agent on Instagram who said that I really want you and your sister to try out for this show, so audition. And they said they get around 10,000 applications. And out of 10,000, they narrow it down to 1,000 to 100 to 50 to 25 to 15, and then ultimately to 12, which get flown out to Tennessee, and then we do filming there for 3 weeks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what happened was we got contacted, and we thought it was a scam, of course. So my dad and mama did a full background check on the casting agent, and they found out she was actually legit. So I tried out for the show, Bunal tried out for the show, and we both got in the top 25 for the thing. The casting, and then I got into the top 15, and so from the top 15, so this was after like multiple auditions, interviews, phone calls, callbacks. So then I got to the top 15. In the top 15, I had to cook on Zoom for 2 hours for 3 days. And I was one of the two kids in California, and all the other kids were like on the East Coast, so the timings worked out for them. But it was in the middle of school for me. And it gets better. And I was actually the main character of this play we were presenting during that exact time.
No way. Yeah, so
I did my thing. I did my, so it was called boot camp. I did the boot camp and then I sprinted to school. I missed like the first scene and then I just said all my lines and then I sprinted back.
Oh, wow. Oh,
God. It was an interesting 3 days, but it was pretty fun.
That's unforgettable. You're going to have that story with you for the rest of your life. Yeah. That is so great. And so what was your reaction when you first found out, like, whoa, this is legit. The Food Network just reached out. Like, what was your reaction? What were your emotions during this time? And your parents too.
The reaction for when I found out that I was on the show or when I found out I should apply?
Both, actually, yeah. When you first got reached out to, and then when you got accepted to be on the show.
So when I first was reached out to be on the show, I was really excited. We were actually just getting ready to go to a friend's house, a family friend's house for dinner when we got the message. So I was super excited, and this family friend and me, we were like really good. We were really fans of this show. So I told him all about it, and I can't tell him any other details about casting or anything, but I told him that we got contacted and I was super excited. And then I sent in my audition, which was like a 100 something form and sub question form, and it had videos, pictures.
Wow.
It talks about the family, what your parents do, things like that. It was a really tedious application, but in the end, it was all worth it. And then it kept on getting narrowed down, and then we did longer interviews, and then the boot camp. And then when I found out, actually, I was at a speech and debate tournament in my house. So what happened was it was an online Zoom speech and debate tournament. So I was in our lounge, and I was wearing really embarrassing speech and debate clothes. And Mama was, she was like, Niall, go check your email. And then she would put the camera up. And I get so mad at her because I just finished off a speech and I was so tired. And I was just in those tight clothes and I was not having it. And then I'm like, Mama, put the camera down. And she's like, no, I have to. I'm like, why? And then she's like, okay, I'll put it down. Put it down, and then she puts it back up. So we went back and forth of this like a couple of times, and then she kind of like hid it under her arm, and then I opened the email and it said, congratulations, you've been accepted as one of the cast members of the championship season 11. And I remember the first thing, my cousin was actually walking in the background. First thing I did was he's like 5 years old. So I took him and I picked him up and I was like screaming. It was so funny. But yeah, I think Mama has a couple video clips of that. So then I realized why she was filming. But yeah, that's kind of the funny way I found out.
Wow, that's pretty incredible. Thanks for sharing those stories with us. That's amazing. How you found out, the emotions, all of that, like, and out of 10,000 people, wow, that's really crazy.
Yeah, that was great. So yeah, I was also watching the show with my family. We were, you know, trying to watch every week. It was a very great experience because, you know, obviously come from a Desi family, so nice to see it was interesting that, you know, there was another Indian Desi kid on the show as well, so that was kind of interesting. And then the other Asian girl who was also from the Bay Area as well, so a lot of interesting storylines in there. So tell us a little bit about that experience. So that 3 weeks of shooting, was that like during the school year, and then what year was it recorded for the audience? Was it recorded 2022, or was it 2021, or how long was the, because I know they take a while to actually put it on the air, right?
Yeah.
So how was that timeline?
Yeah, so this actually, we left the day I got my first day of summer break was actually the day we left for Tennessee. So that worked out, and a couple kids had to do school there because they weren't completely done with school. So the first day of my summer break, we went to Tennessee, and all my friends were asking me, what are you doing in Tennessee? And I actually have an aunt in Tennessee, so I told them I'm just visiting my aunt, and I had to make up these alibis. But basically, yeah, so we went there, and it was 2022, so summer of 2022 was when all the filming was completed. And we went there, and it was a great time, and then I had lots of fun with the kids, and yeah, I grew really close to everyone.
Nice. And I know there was one story that your father had told me about, which I guess they didn't put it on the air, unless I missed it, where you were, one of the ingredients that people were using was bacon, and you want to tell that story to the listeners?
The one where I ate it?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, it was an accident, so it doesn't count, you know.
Yeah.
It was a
so
exposed on the artistic foodies. No, go on.
Okay, so this was in the 9th episode, the semifinals, where we had to make cookies, like over the top cookies. And Genevieve, who was she's really close with me, so she was making cookies with candied bacon bits in them, because Duff really likes bacon. That's his favorite ingredient. So she was making those cookies, and it was the last 30 minutes. I was all over the place. I was in a rush, and I was going everywhere. And then she comes up to me. She's like, Niall, can you try this cookie? And I'm just running everywhere, and I'm like, sure, because I don't want to be rude. And I didn't know what was in it, so I just took a bite. And then I just stopped for a second. I'm like, why is it so chewy and greasy? That's the candied bacon. I'm like, what'd you say? She's like, candied bacon. I remember I ran to the sink. I spit it out. I gurgled like multiple times. And they called the medic over. Duff, like, it was so funny. The producer thought he was going to get sued. And it was the funniest thing ever. Because everyone was freaking out, and Genevieve thought I really hated her cookie that much.
Wow.
That was quite a scene.
Wow, that was great. So just curious, like when you are doing the application, do they ask you about any dietary restrictions, or do they know in advance? Obviously this was an accident. Another contestant doesn't know the situation, right? But do the producers and everything, do they ask you that in the beginning?
So on the actual application, they didn't ask us, because that application goes out to 10,000 kids. So they didn't ask on the actual application, but they did ask us for like specific allergies. And usually I say like pork and alcohol. But we didn't, cause they're like this, he has to be like allergic to this. So we didn't say that, but, basically the producers came up to us on the first day of filming, and they asked us if I have any dietary restrictions. And then we told them that I can't have pork, I can't have alcohol, cause they had alcohol on set to like work with, for the food color and things like that. So, I can't use those things. And they said that it's good that they told us, because a couple years ago they had a Food Network show with a Muslim contestant on, and the challenge was to work with bacon. And
and
he didn't do it because he didn't want to, and he kept losing the round. So they said to tell them in advance. So we told them about that. So it was.
Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah, see, that's good, because you're obviously, for Muslims who are getting into these media fields, and there's more and more people, you know, getting into these kind of shows and contests, and you know, it's another way to educate the greater non-Muslim and people of other faiths about what Muslims, you know, what our restrictions are, and so it's good. It's a good learning experience for them as well, right? Not just us. So that's,
yeah, because you better believe there's going to be more and more Muslims. I mean, we are here, and we are here to stay, and we are excellent at the things that we're doing, as you're proving to the world. So it's been the business, it's been
the TV show. Congratulations on winning. That's absolutely fantastic. And you got a cookbook as well. So tell us a little bit about that. Same thing, you know, maybe some history context. Why'd you start it? When'd you start it? What was that process like?
But before you answer that really quickly, just to go back to the show really quick. Sorry, boss. When you won the show, obviously, when, you know, on TV, it was like, it looked like you were really, really shocked and surprised, which I'm sure you were. But was there a little bit behind your head that you thought that, okay, I got this, you know, I'm pretty sure I can win this? What was your reaction?
Yeah, so in the finale, when I was baking the cake, I actually had a couple setbacks. So my cake, when I was assembling it, one of them broke. My whole top tier broke because I was planning to do 3 tiers. My whole like top tier broke. So I was feeling a little intimidated by that. And then also during the end, I was looking at all the other bakers' cakes, and especially Sohan's. Sohan's I thought was looking amazing. And honestly, at that point, I thought that like I've had lots of fun. I didn't even... I wanted to win, of course, like a lot, but if any of the other bakers would have won, then I would have been happy for them either way. So basically when I found out that I won, I was a little surprised because I thought Sohan might have also won or Naho. So, but yeah, so I was super excited, super happy, of course. And then, yeah, I think honestly, it was really fun. Just the finale was probably one of my favorite episodes to kind of bake in.
Great. Was there an audience during the filming, or was it a closed set?
So it was a closed set. The kitchen, there were 12 stations, and then the pantry was huge, and then they had tons of ovens, but they had lots of camera people. I remember they had a couple on each kid, a couple on each judge. And then they had this huge crane that had a humongous camera just in the middle of the set. And it took like 7-10 people to kind of move that around. So they had a lot of camera people, and that's kind of where all the desserts went to. So
Nice. Okay.
Everyone gets a bite.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Thanks for sharing that.
So now, let's rewind back to my question. Same question about the book. You know, tell us, walk us through it. Why did you start it? When did it come out? You know, and sort of what was that process like? Because you're juggling so many things now at this point, right?
So actually, the idea of the book came before the show. So we thought about writing a cookbook because a lot of our family, friends, customers would ask us to share our recipes, and we told them that we'd like to give them some recipes, but like our rasmalai tres leche cake, which is our bestseller, that recipe is like secret, so we don't share that recipe. But a couple recipes we have shared, and so we thought of just making it a cookbook. So then we worked on it for a couple months during winter. Winter break was mainly when we worked on it, and then we actually got it published by February 21st, I think, or 20th, sometime around then. And that's in since that's when our cookbook came out, and it's been doing pretty great.
So the cookbook is available on Amazon, or is it on a specific website, or how does it people?
Yeah. It's available on Amazon. The publisher's website is called Kendall Hunt Publishing, and then we are trying to get it into Barnes & Noble soon too.
Okay, great. And then I think you guys have you guys do some cooking or baking demos on YouTube. Is that correct? You guys still do that, or is that kind of on the side now?
So every Saturday morning we have our Instagram lives, and on that we put those on YouTube as well. So our Instagram lives are kind of baking demos, but then we also offer baking classes in person and on Zoom for people who want to have like baking classes as a birthday party activity or just like something fun to do. So we do things like that as well. On all the information's on our website.
And what's your website address?
Our website address is lajwabtreats.com.
Okay, right on. So I see on your Instagram, the link in the bio has the links to everything. And I see your book right there on Amazon. I'm going to need to get a signed copy, though. I'll tell you that much right now. This is really, really cool artwork on the book as well. And for folks that maybe don't live in the Bay Area, but really want to try some of these really creative dishes, definitely check out this book and check out some of the recipes in there. And so that you can get a taste a little bit and see why this food is truly lajawab. You have savory stuff as well in the cookbook. Are these all like your family recipes that you've gotten from uncles, aunts that have been passed down, or are they all sort of like created by you and your sister?
Yeah, so some of our recipes are created by me and my sister, but a couple of them, like there is a recipe for chicken tikka masala that's handed down by, I think, my Nano's mom. So my mom's grandma. So that was handed down to my Nano and then handed out to my mom. And then we put it in our cookbook and we make that a lot for iftars, for parties. So it's kind of a recipe that's been in our family for a long time. And then also my daddy's pakoras, and then she puts amchur powder, which is like a dried mango powder in it, and it gives a little bit of sourness, which tastes really good in my opinion. So we have that recipe as well. And then a couple others. There's this really popular non-Khatai brand we have in Pakistan called Khalifa, and we made like a copycat version of that. And that's also in our cookbook. So recipes like that, we like to try out a lot of recipes that people might have tasted before and want to like recreate. And then a lot of recipes from our family handed down as well.
Now, is there any recipe, maybe like a simple recipe that our listeners can take away from this interview and start making? Is there anything you could share with us?
I think the simplest recipe in there, it's really quick, it's really simple, is our Mexican hot chocolate mug cake recipe. And we make that a lot for like if we're having a movie night inside the house and we don't want to like bake a brownies or like a cake and have all the bowls, then just like in a mug, you just combine all the ingredients and pop in the microwave for a minute. And it's really quick, really easy, and it's really delicious. So that with a scoop of ice cream would be probably my easy go-to to from our cookbook.
That sounds like a phenomenal treat. You heard it here, folks. Definitely go and check that out, make it, and then tag them. Tag Lajawab Treats so they can see what you guys are making as well.
So you just combine all the dry ingredients in a microwave-safe mug, which includes the flour, cocoa powder, baking soda, sugar, salt, coffee powder, and then you add them some chocolate chips, and then you add in your wet ingredients, your oil, whole milk, and then you add in some cayenne pepper, some vanilla extract, and a little bit of water. And you just mix that with a fork inside of your mug, and then you put it in the microwave for 1.5 minutes or longer until the toothpick in the center of it is checked clean. And then this mug cake is best served warm with a scoop of vanilla ice cream and with your choice of toppings, sprinkles, chopped nuts, fresh berries. And I personally love to put Nutella on it and whipped cream. So that's it's a really simple recipe, and I think I definitely recommend it.
Wah, kaken, lajawab. For folks that might not know what that means, can you describe the name and what lajawab means?
So lajawab directly translates to like there's no answer to it. So basically it's kind of the poetic way of saying that like no one can kind of compete with it in a way. It's like unmatchable, something like that. So that's kind of the poetic word lajawab in the language Urdu.
That's fantastic. Thank you for illuminating it, because I think I said it a few times and I realized a lot of people don't know what that means.
I didn't know what it meant too. But
you're learning Urdu here, yeah, Irfan. Yeah,
learning some Urdu words here. Yeah, jawab. Very good, very good. So, I guess the last question that I have is, what's next for you? Like, what are you planning for? Like, maybe like 5 years from now, do you want to, I know you kind of mentioned already that you want to have a storefront. So is this something that you want to do full time? Obviously, I'm sure you're going to go to school and all that and finish that. But is this something that you're going to learn some, more business in school, or what are you thinking to take this to the next level?
Yeah, so hopefully in a couple of years we want to open up an actual storefront, and we were thinking about keeping that as a kind of side thing since school is like top priority, so keeping that on the side, but it's also a big priority. So we want it to kind of be something that we enjoy, something that we can also kind of learn from, and also something that we can care and just have as our business. Yeah.
Very good. Abbas, you have anything else?
That's fantastic. I think we covered a lot of ground. Definitely appreciate you sharing the entrepreneurship journey from the business, starting the business, and how you were talking about how you delivered everything yourselves and really had like low prices, and then it grew and it grew, and then you got more of a national stage through the show. Congratulations again on winning. That's fantastic. It's honestly like it's great for, you know, for the Bay Area to have like Muslim representation, you know, on such a national scale. So that's a really big deal. I'm looking forward to, you know, to getting your cookbook and trying out some recipes. And, you know, it's been great to have a conversation with you. And thanks for all the great stories and the good laughs. Especially, I can't get over the reaction of after you ate that candied bacon cookie. They must have been freaking out. We've started season 3 of the Artistic Foodies, fully charged and inspired by these amazing young entrepreneurs. Season 3 will be dedicated to exploring the food industry, so stay tuned for future interviews with restaurateurs, entrepreneurs, and other notable people within the industry. Thank you so much for tuning into the Artistic Foodies. Before we go, show some love for your favorite podcast by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts.
Be sure to find us on Facebook and Instagram to stay tuned for more episodes, as well as bonus content. You can have access to all of our episodes on our website, theartisticfoodies.com.
This podcast has been brought to you by Halal Fez Incorporated and Gamma, gathering all Muslim artists.